ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। विष्णु सहस्रनाम 691 पुरयता, which means one who fills up. First, I'll backtrack a little bit to the name Purna, the previous name, which is very much interconnected with this verse. I spoke, when I spoke on that verse, about Krishna, although he's Purna, complete in himself, he feels apurna without Radha. he is eternally existent with Radha. They are the two bipartite absolute truths, we can say. Or as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the two moieties of the absolute truth. Moiety means a half portion, but it's not exactly that they're half. This is a transcendental mystery. Now, one important point, the Mayavadis, they accept the absolute truth to be Purna. One of their favorite verses, they probably quote it more than the Vaishnavas do. Well, at least as much. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. The definition of Purna is that, well, it can be translated and interpreted in various ways. He is the complete whole. From him, whatever complete wholes emanate do not diminish him. He remains the complete whole. Now, the Mayavadi idea of Purna is Nirgun Brahma, the absolute truth without any characteristics, which immediately negates the concept of Purna, because Purna should include everything. Srila Prabhupada also often pointed this out. Giving the simple example, if I have hands and legs, then why not God? God is complete and perfect. I've got something that he doesn't have. This impersonal concept of Purna is more like shunya, which means emptiness or nothingness. So that little point I wanted to add there. Now the name Purayita, who fills up. Maybe you remember from the Psalms in the Old Testament. Do you know the translation of that? Psalms, it's a section in the Old Testament of, or the Hebrew Bible, of hymns to God, of course. So there's one statement in there, my cup overfloweth. My cup overflows. Overfloweth is Old English, sometimes used in biblical language. So the idea that he can give so much, more than we need. Srila Prabhupada also gave the example that his father used to tell him when he was a child that we only have two hands and God has 10 hands. So if God wants to take away from us, we can't resist him. And if he wants to give him, we can't take everything that he wants to give. Of course, in the Psalms, the idea is mixed with material prosperity, the thought of material prosperity, that I have so much wealth, which is conceived of in terms of agricultural wealth and gold and this and that, more than I can personally enjoy. So Krishna can give, but what he really wants to give is himself, love of himself. People pray to him that I am missing something in my life, you fulfill that. Fulfill my desire. So in this way, make me Purna. All I need is $1 million. Nowadays, you can't do much with $1 million. Okay, $1 billion. $1 billion, that should be enough to buy anything you want. I don't think there's anything in the world which costs, any one item that costs $1 billion. Not yet. Unless you wanted to buy up the whole city of New York, and there wouldn't be enough. Then you need trillions. But it's not for sale anyway. It's in little plots. So we may think that, all right, I just need this. I just need to marry this girl. She doesn't want to marry me, but I want to marry her. So without her, shunyayatam jagat sarvam, I'm feeling the whole world is vacant, but I'll pray to God that He'll change her mind, and then I'll be fully satisfied. But no, we're never fully satisfied. We can only be fully satisfied when we get Him. And that is clear in the narration of Dhruva Maharaj, he had such an aspiration to have a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. It was a material aspiration, but when he saw Bhagavan, Narayana, he thought that practically in comparison to this idea of getting a big kingdom, an unprecedented, practically unimaginable kingdom, who would ask God for such a thing? Extremely ambitious. You might ask Him for a kingdom in this world, but a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma is unimaginable, because Lord Brahma is overseeing the whole universe. But Dhruva Maharaj said that my attempt or my desire to get anything material, even as extensive or exalted as that material acquisition which I desired, it was like the desire to get some pieces of broken glass comparing to the perfect diamond that I'm getting when I have you, just to see you. So real fulfillment comes from Krishna. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktirad hokshaje ahaitukya prati hata yayatma suprasediti. We feel full and perfect only when we perform the highest activity, the highest activity for the living being, which is loving service, devotional service to the transcendent Lord, which is performed uninterruptedly and without any personal motive. And that will satisfy us. That will give us the sense of fulfillment. Anything else will not. So Krishna is very willing to give that. He wants to give that. You may say, well, why doesn't he? If he wants to give it, he's God, he can do whatever he likes. But he doesn't interfere with our little independence. If we don't want it, he doesn't give it. If he wants something else, he may give it. So this name, the different acharyas, they... he wants to give us prema. And out of his prema, his compassion, he wants to make others purna. When his sense of completeness, he feels some incompleteness. Why are these living beings ignoring me? They're so unhappy forgetting me. So out of his compassion, he's full in all desirable qualities. So his compassion, which is an aspect of his loving nature that overflows, and he wants to make others also feel complete. So he comes and speaks Bhagavad Gita to point us on the path back to him. The acharyas, the Vaishnava acharyas, Parashara Bhatta, gives the understanding that he is Purita, one who fills up, because he fulfills the desires of his devotees. Particularly the desire of his devotees to praise him. The devotees want to praise him, and the devotees give, Krishna gives the intelligence to them by which they can properly praise him. And again, an example is Dhruva Maharaj, who was a five-year-old boy. He wasn't trained in Sanskrit grammar or what to speak of prosody, but Krishna empowered him so he could make beautiful prayers to him. He symbolically touched his head with his conch shell. The conch shell announces the glories of himself. When he blows the conch shell, he's announcing his own glories. So by the conch shell, he touched Dhruva on the head, and Dhruva became empowered to speak the glories of the Lord. So the devotees, they desire to do that. That's what they want to do. They want to praise him. Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees. The devotees want to praise him. And Krishna gives them the ability to do them, to do that. He is Purna, he is complete. He doesn't need their praise, but he likes it because he is Stava Priya. That's another name that we just had. And he likes to be glorified by his devotees. He doesn't need it, but he likes it. So Krishna fulfills the desire of his devotees. And the devotee, their real desire is simply to serve him. And he gives them the opportunity to do so. He's complete, full and complete. So even though he has Lakshmi Sahasrashata, Sambrahma Sevyamanam, unlimited goddesses of fortune serving him, there's room at the top. Room at the top means the top is the spiritual world. There's plenty of room up there. Whole universes is full of unlimited living beings can go, and there's service. Krishna can expand himself into many forms and make himself available to everyone and fulfill all the desires of his devotees to serve him in the various ways that they desire to do so. Within this world also, Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees, and there are many instances of this, even at his own apparent inconvenience. Bhishma Dev, he vowed to Duryodhana that tomorrow I will fight in such a way that either I will kill Arjuna or Krishna will have to break his vow of not lifting any weapon to fight in this battle. So Bhishma was saying, I have this vow, and either I'm going to kill Arjuna, and Krishna already promised to protect Arjuna. Kaunte apati janihi namai bhakta pranashati. So, and Krishna already vowed not to fight, not to lift any weapon. So, in effect, Bhishma made a vow to make Krishna break one of his promises, one of his vows, because if Bhishma's resolve was that unless Krishna protects Arjuna by physically fighting with me, then Arjuna's going to be killed. So Bhagavan Krishna, he has to protect his devotee, right? He has to protect Arjuna. And he also has to protect Bhishma, because Bhishma is also his devotee, and Bhishma made a vow, so he has to protect that vow. So Bhishma put Krishna in a tight spot there. Either Krishna has to break his own vow one way or the other, or Bhishma's vow will be broken. So Krishna broke his own vow by picking up a chariot wheel, which counts as broken chariot wheel, which counts as a weapon, and went to attack Bhishma. And in this way, fulfilled his own promise to protect Arjuna and his own promise to protect Bhishma also, that Bhishma didn't become shamed. And then Krishna's promise to not lift any weapon became broke. But then after that, he didn't lift a weapon anymore in the fight. Just as much as necessary, he did so. So that's one example. Krishna fills not only, he fills up the whole universe. Well, he fills half the universe with the perspiration from his body. And the rest of the universe, then he makes that space available for Brahma to create it. And then he fills up the universe with living beings. He fills the hearts of those who feel incomplete without him, apurna without him. Shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays that I feel empty. The whole universe seems empty. There's nothing in the whole universe that can give you any pleasure. It's like someone is in great distress. There's nothing you can do to... Nothing in the world that can satisfy them. They feel the whole world is... There's nothing there. Just like a mother whose child has just died, and then there's nothing you can do. There's no kind of food, no kind of words, no kind of comfort. There's nothing in the whole world that can console her. All she can think of is how I lost my child. And that may go on throughout her life, feeling like that. She may never be comforted. But actually, that's our situation. Without Krishna, we're simply lamenting in this material world. Yamuna Acharya, in this regard, states, Pavantame vanu charam nirantara prashanta nishesha manoratantara kadaham aikantika nitya kinkara praharshiyashami sanata jivida. He's praying that when will I get the opportunity, he's praying to Narayana, when will I get the opportunity to be counted as your eternal follower. And at that point, the convolutions and somersaults of the mind on the running on a chariot of the mind, that will become stopped, and I'll become completely peaceful. And again, he says, when will I be known as your exclusive, eternal servant? At that point, I'll be extremely happy knowing that I have my protector and master. So in this way, full satisfaction. Sometimes some product is advertised, satisfaction guaranteed. All your money back. But everything in this material world means dissatisfaction guaranteed. But with Krishna, satisfaction guaranteed. And no money back. We'll take all your money and use it in Krishna's service. And devotees are very happy to do that. They don't, as long as we're thinking, my money, my this, my that. No, everything for Krishna. If we give everything to Krishna, Krishna becomes fully satisfied with us, and we become fully satisfied. Actually, what can we give to Krishna? It's only the sense of possessing something. We don't own anything, but we have the sense of possessing something. And then when we give that up, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of his songs in Sharanagati, Aham Mama Shabda Arkichuna, the idea of I and mine, I'm not retaining that anymore. Everything is offered to Krishna. So if we sincerely desire him, he will help us to reach him, to become full in bhakti, to become purna, complete in bhakti, despite our incompleteness. We're incomplete. We always feel dissatisfied in the material situation. Or even if we feel satisfied for a little time, then again we feel dissatisfied. But when we take to Krishna consciousness, then Krishna fills our hearts, and no more dissatisfaction. And even we're incapable to come, we're so fallen, we're incapable to come to Krishna, but Krishna helps us. Tesham satato yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogantam yena mam upayanti te. We don't have the good intelligence of how to come to Krishna, but Krishna gives the intelligence by which we can do so. Shankaracharya comments on this that Bhagavan is not just himself Purna, but he makes others Purna. Therefore, he's called Purayata. At the appropriate time, he bestows on them whatever they seek according to their eligibility in terms of dharma, artha, kama, or moksha. Or, Shankara doesn't say this, but we can deduce that if a person doesn't want to be dharmic, then adharma he'll get. And then he gets what he needs. Krishna fulfills the desire, but not always, because there's the punishment aspect of him also. So he may give poverty, unwanted things, bondage in material existence. Baladev Vidya Bhushan gives a completely different understanding of this name. Baladev Vidya Bhushan has been commenting in terms of Krishna killing various demons. So Baladev says that apart from Krishna personally killing demons, he empowers, or Purayata gives the full ability to devotees to kill demons also. So we find that related in Bhagavatam, that Krishna personally came and killed so many demons, and then via the agency of especially Bhishma and Arjuna, he killed various demons. So via his devotees. Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a desire that his name would be preached in every town and village of the world, and he empowered Srila Prabhupada to make that seemingly impossible prediction become fulfilled. The next name is Punya, which is generally translated as piety. Krishna is the essence of all Punya. Om Punyaha, Om Punyaha, Om Punyaha. The essence of all piety is Krishna. And this name is also translated as the he who purifies, or he who himself is excellent in performing pious activities. And especially when Bhagavan comes as Ramachandra, he sets the example of how a king should perform pious activities. He should always act in terms of dharma, and he has set the example for human society. But we shouldn't think that Krishna is not pious. Sometimes that accusation comes that, well, Rama is very good, but Krishna, he had so many girlfriends, and he broke his promise that he wouldn't lift any weapon in the battle. He induced Yudhishthira, who had never told a lie, to tell a lie. So in so many ways, they may accuse that Krishna is impious. No, but no, Krishna is the most pious. Everything he does is pious. And our seeing him as impious is impious. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Srivas Thakur to recite this Vishnu Sahasranama. So Srivas started, and then early in that Vishnu Sahasranama comes the name Narasimha Vapu. He was the form of a man and a lion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on hearing this, became imbued with the feelings of Narasimha Dev and ran in the street fiercely, completely in the mood of Narasimha, as if he was just about to rip everyone to pieces. And everyone seeing him became very afraid, upon which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out of that mood of ecstasy and went sadly back to the house of Srivas and said, oh, it's very bad. I made the people afraid. It's not good to make people afraid. It's impious. But Srivas said, whoever saw you in that mood became liberated. They're most fortunate to see him in any mood. He is punya. Now, this word punya is very important to understand. Generally, it's in this world, it's understood to mean the kind of activities that by performing them, one will get good karmic results in the form of, for instance, Sri Aishwarya Prajapsava, beautiful women, opulence, progeny. So that is considered to be punya, and people, they want to get materialistic punya. Tetang puktva swargaloka. By punya, by pious activities, people go up to the heavenly world, but then, having enjoyed that, tetang puktva swargaloka vishalam, the vast happiness of the heavenly world compared to this earthly sphere, kshine punya, when their punya, when the results of their pious activities become depleted, maritya lokam vishanti, they re-enter into this world of death. So that's not real punya. Punya means that should actually purify. So by performing pious activities, the idea is that one can become free from sinful life. And then one can enjoy the results of pious life. But it doesn't actually purify, because the idea that I will enjoy the results of pious life is itself impious. So inherent in material piety is impiety. The whole endeavor, the whole undertaking from beginning to end, it's predicated on impiety. The desire to be aloof from Krishna and enjoy separately. So there's no real punya in this material world. A real punya is serving Krishna. And there's one verse like that which I don't remember, which in which Krishna says that which is normally considered pious is impious if it's not meant for service to me. And even activities which are considered sinful normally, if they're done in my service, then that becomes pious. Now, it's not that someone can say, okay, I'm going to shoot someone in the head and chant Hare Krishna, it becomes pious. No. If necessary for the service of Krishna, one may do some impious activity. It's not normal, but it may happen sometimes. Just like that example, Yudhishthira was enjoined to tell a lie to effect the killing of Dronacharya. But he thought, Yudhishthira thought, that would be sinful. But actually, to do so for the pleasure of Krishna, or on the order of Krishna, is pious. Krishna purifies, he gives real piety, in such a way that even the most impious people in this world become purified if they simply take to devotional service. And they become fit for glorifying Him. They become not only pious, but they even the most sinful person, if they take to devotional service, they not only become not sinful, but they come to the highest level of piety. Aho bhata svapacha togariyan. Yajivagre vartate nama tubhyam tepas tapas te juhuvu sasnur arya brahmanucha nama grinanti te uchur. One who is always chanting Krishna's names, even if he's born in the most impious situation, it's understood that such a person has already done or gone beyond all other kinds of pious activities, such as visiting holy places, chanting Vedic mantras, studying the Vedas, and so on. So Krishna consciousness immediately brings a person to the most pious platform, because Krishna Himself is piety personified. And even to think about Him purifies the person who thinks about Him. Even if one thinks in a mood which is not pious, But somehow or other, if one thinks of Krishna, one is purified. So the real punya means to meditate on Krishna, being the very form of all goodness, of punya, everything that is desirable in the personality. Shankaracharya gives the understanding later, because this name comes later also in Vishnu Sahasranam, even though we're on name 692 and this is the first occurrence, but it will come later in the 900s. So Shankara says that he says he has the name Punya because he enables everyone to be righteous by his teachings through the Shastra, the Shruti and the Smriti. Baladev Vidyabhushan, continuing, he is interpreting these names in terms of Krishna killing the demons. Baladev says that Krishna is the purifier of this world. He is Punya because he removes the impure or the impious people, such as Kamsa. He removes them, he kills them. He purifies the universe by killing the atheists. Indrari Vyakalam Loka Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. Krishna comes in every age. Ete Changsha Kala Pung Sang Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna comes in every age and removes the enemies of the demigods. So Krishna's killing is punya. Everything he does is pious. Normally killing is considered not a very good thing, but when Krishna does so, that is punya. And following Krishna, the kshatriyas who do so for the sake of dharma, their killing is also pious. So the understanding of piety in Vedic culture is, or the actual understanding is, somewhat different to that of, for instance, Mahatma Gandhi, who wanted non-violence at any cost, which is impossible, impractical, and leads to violence. And that actually happened. Mahatma Gandhi wanted non-violence, but due to his stupid policy of being fair to everyone, the Pakistanis got the weapons with which to attack India the first time they did so, and got smashed, as they always do, which is probably why they didn't do it for quite some time. They just sponsor cowardly acts of terrorism instead. Anyway, another understanding of the name Punya, one by whom things are purified, so that links with the previous names. Many of these names, they overlap. He is Punya, he's pure, he's devoid of any sin, he is all auspiciousness. An example, just like the sun purifies everything in the universe, the brahmanas pray to the sun three times a day. The purifying effect of the sun, apapa vidham, the sun cleans everything. So in the same way, Bhagavan is like the bright sun who purifies everything and clears away the darkness. Just by remembering him, we can become pious. He is so pious that just by remembering him, we can become free from all impiety. And real punya means to be, as much as we are connected with him, we are pious. As much as we're disconnected, we're impious. So just to be in the varnashram system means there's some connection with him. Maybe indirect, but that's the beginning. So, in summary, he purifies even the worst of sinners by making them think of him. He may come in front of them to kill them, and they think of him very intensely when they're about to be killed by him. He purifies the whole world by eliminating the sinful people who are making the whole world impure. He is a purifier for those who meditate upon him. In the form of the sun, he purifies everything. That was given as an example, but he's often identified with the sun directly. And he guides us to be righteous through his directions in the Shastra. And he himself personally excels in performing pious activities, setting an example for others to follow. So in this way, he is punya. Any question about this, please? Any question? No? All right, then we'll finish. You have a question? All right.
It is said that somebody who doesn't worship Krishna, but acts piously, or is trying to maintain his position in Varnashrama Dharma, actually he will fall down. So it seems that piety, it's not functioning in this case.
Yeah, that's correct. Real piety is to know Krishna. If one executes pious activities, that verse is there in the Bhagavatam, but doesn't worship Krishna, then he falls from his position. Ya esham purusham sakshat. That's given in Chaitanya Charitamrita that charivarnashrame jodi krishna nahi bhaje shakama karite rorave parimaje. It's the same thing as the Bhagavatam verse, which I don't remember. I can look it up. Ya esham purusham sakshat. Yeah, I'll look it up so we get it. Ya esham. Here it is. Ya esham purusham sakshat. Atma prabhavam ishvaram. Nabhajantya vajananti sthanad bhashta patantyadaha. Anyone who does not render service to Krishna and neglects his duty unto him, who is the source of all living beings, will certainly fall down from his constitutional position. So that's specifically in relation to Varnashram. So yeah, real piety means to worship Krishna. Otherwise, that's the way in the material world. One goes up and then goes down. He'll fall. He may go up, but then may perform pious activities and go up, but then he has to come down. Hare Krishna. Mancha kalpa taru pyascha. Kripa sindhu vyavacha patitanam pavane bhyo. Vaishnave bhyo namo namaha.